Thank you, kiddos. All right. We're not ready for primetime players. Well, hopefully the kiddos will talk about it with their parents the rest of the day, and I know our kids do for sure. But they're in the middle of writing it too. Well, there was a little boy, and he was at worship. It was Memorial Day. And he had to go potty. He was about 8 years old, tugged on his mother's arm. Yeah, he said, "Mom, I got to go potty." She said, "Now, son, really?" He goes, "Yep, Mom, I sure do." And so they, you know, make a big scene, go down the aisle, take him to the restroom. Well, at this church, they had pictures on the wall of all the, you know, people who have been in the armed forces. And so the little boy says to the mommy, he says, "Mommy, who are all these pictures of?" And she goes, "Well, son, these are the pictures of all the people who died in the service." And with that, the little boy said, "Which service did they die in, the 8 o'clock or the 10:30? Well, we don't have an 8 o'clock anymore for the summer anyway. But then there was that person, you know, they said, "Thank you, Lord, for today. So far, I've done everything right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't gotten angry with anybody. I haven't been grumpy, sad, or anything overindulgent. I'm glad about all that. But in the next few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed and turn the lights on. And from there, I'm probably going to need a lot of help. In Jesus' name, amen." What a prayer, but so true, huh? Anybody struggle with prayer besides me? Oh, okay, good. We got some sinners that will admit it out there. Yeah. You know, prayer's a battle, is it not? I can't tell you how many times when I try to pray, dog barks, phone rings, things happen, things fall off shelves, whatever. I don't know. It's hard to pray, I think, because have we not all been raised to do it ourselves? I mean, that's the American dream. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Texas was like 50th in mental health when I used to live there. You know why? The whole attitude there is pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, people shouldn't need help. They should be able to overcome their problems. But it's hard because prayer, we don't always see those prayers answered, do we, that we offer at times? And I want to do it myself. All my training says I should be able to do it myself. That all this schooling and life experience, it shouldn't be that big a problem. But I'm not camel knees. That's what James, the half-brother of Jesus, was described as. Camel knees, because he prayed so intently. And but there are times when we pray, are there not? You know, as it's been said, there's no atheist in foxholes. Or as Richard Chaffert told me one day after church, and I got his permission to say this, he said, "You know, when you're landing on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the ocean at 2 a.m., there's a lot of prayer." Or he just told me about before they took off, the chaplain would come over the loudspeaker and pray the Lord's Prayer. Man, we could only see those days again. Lord's Prayer means a ton to Richard and to all of us. We know that. But usually we pray when we're in a tough spot. Yet Paul says to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he tells us, pray without ceasing. Now, does that mean we're on our knees 24-7? Nah, that's not realistic. But the attitude is that we should always be in prayer, should we not? But practically, none of us probably pray as much as we should or as much as we need to. Now, what really helps me living here, honestly, with prayer, is when I drive down our street and I look at those mountains, I think of Psalm 121, verse 1. Not that I'm that spiritual, but, you know, where does my help come from? It starts out with, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So we always have that reminder here, and I love that when I look at those mountains, I can think of that verse, and it pushes me to pray. But some prayers we shouldn't pray, right? You say, "Whoa, wait a second, Bruce, we should be praying whatever we want to pray." Well, not really. See, there's a couple reasons why we shouldn't pray certain prayers. John 14:13 says this. Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So there's the prayer, the purpose of prayer. What is it? That the Father may be glorified. Now, I hate to admit it, that not all of my prayers are to glorify the Father. I'm sure yours aren't as well. And if we figure that out, that they aren't, it's time to stop. If we're praying for that promotion, is it for God's glory or mine? If we're praying for that investment to grow, is it for God's glory or mine? For healing, is it God's glory or mine? Repaired family relationships, is it for God's glory or mine? For a book to be published, is it for God's glory or mine? To be elected to the school board, is that for God's glory or mine? To be on the church council, is that for God's glory or mine? To even be a Sunday school teacher, is that for God's glory or mine? I'm sure through the years, a lot of my prayers have been for my glory, as I'm sure yours have as well. So the Lord couldn't answer them, right? Somehow I got confused at time. You know, that temptation that was in the garden, right? You shall be as gods. We all do want to be gods at the base of our fallen nature. But the reality is, we're not God. And sometimes when we pray for our glory and not God's glory, God can't answer that prayer. The reality is, He's God and I'm not. Say that with me, would you? He's God, I'm not. James also tells us in James chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So we're to pray about our needs, not our greeds, right? So sometimes we pray for our greeds. Now it's hard. Each person's got to determine that. I'm not here to be legalistic and say you shouldn't get that boat. But just remember, if you want to get that boat, is it for God's glory or your glory? Now, maybe that your family has wonderful times vacationing and you have great time together and it brings you all closer and you talk about the Lord while you're there and all that, and that's all good. And remember, Paul told Timothy, God has given us all things richly to not enjoy. No, to enjoy. So we need to thank Him for whatever it is. We just have to remember we worship the giver of the gifts, not the gifts, correct? Amen? So James warns us about that. He says you don't get any answers to your prayers because you want to consume it on your own passion. So do I want a bigger house so others are impressed? That would be my greed, not my need. How about I might need a bigger house, and if I do, get the bigger house. I might need that boat, as I said, or whatever. But we have to think about, is it for God's glory or my glory? Is it a real need or is it a greed? But if we know our requests, petitions, prayers will give glory to God, and they're more about our needs than our greeds, then we are to never give up in prayer. In Luke 18:1, he says, we ought to the disciples, we ought always to pray and not lose heart. But it is easy to lose heart, is it not? Persistence counts in prayer. The persistent widow and the unjust judge, she demanded justice, and she kept going after him and after him. He was a Gentile. He wasn't a believer, right? And he finally said, because she keeps bothering me, I'm going to answer her. I'm going to give her justice. And he does. So persistence matters. And as long as it's about giving God the glory and it's not about our greeds but our needs, we can stay persistent in that prayer. He tells the apostles, the disciples rather, in Matthew 7, he says, ask, seek, and knock. We all know that scripture, right? Those verbs are in present tense, present imperatives. They're commands. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. So God wants us to do that. He told them there in Matthew 7, if you keep on asking, seeking, and knocking, you know, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Not a problem. But even if our motives are right and we want to glorify God and our prayers are about our needs, not our greeds, why do our prayers still go unanswered? Why do I still not get an answer to my prayers? I'm thinking my motives are spot on. Jesus tells the disciples and us, truly, truly, I say unto you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In my name. That's it. That's all we got to do. We did it this morning. We added in Jesus' name. So it should be a done deal, right? Now, We just can't tack it on to the end of our prayers. It's not a magic phrase. It's not a secret saying that opens the doors of heaven. God is not duty-bound to give us whatever we ask for because we tacked in Jesus' name to the end of our prayer. No, we can tack in Jesus' name onto the end of our prayers, and those prayers be greedy and glorifying ourselves as well. Yet Jesus tells us three times in this gospel passage this morning to ask in his name. In verse 24, he says, until now you've asked nothing in my name. They asked plenty. They had questions about what was happening, but they didn't ask him for their needs. But he says, ask and receive, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Remember, they were sorrowful because they knew Jesus was going to be killed. He had kept telling them he was, and he said their sorrow would be turned into joy. He says that in verse 26. In that day you will ask in my name. What day is that? The day when their sorrow would turn to joy, when they'd see him resurrected from the dead. In that day, after his resurrection, Jesus tells the disciples they will no longer go to him to ask the Father. He will not go on their behalf. As he did in John chapter 14. He said, I'll go to the Father and ask him to send the Holy Spirit to you, a comforter, an advocate, a helper. He went to the Father for them. Now, they don't have to go to Jesus to ask him to go to the Father. All they have to do is ask in Jesus' name. And the reason is the Father himself loves them and us who believe that Jesus was the Messiah, who believe that Jesus died in our place on that tree to pay for our sins, to give us eternal life received by faith, that we're justified by faith in him and him alone. It's counted to righteousness when we believe in him by faith, that he died to pay for our sins. Theologian F.F. Bruce contends that Jesus does not want the disciples to feel that he has to persuade God the Father any longer to answer their prayers. He says the Father is only too ready to do so because as Jesus has assured them of his love, so they may be assured of the Father's direct and personal love for them. Now, because they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are God's children and have direct access to the Father with the confidence that he welcomes them and gladly attends to their request. So Jesus used to go. Now Jesus doesn't have to go. The Father knows that we love Jesus. And because of that, and that love is not a work, it's not something we do, and then because of that love, we now have access to the Father. No, remember, here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So our love for him is a result of his love for us. He loved us first. So love doesn't get us in the door, but God the Father knows that we love him, who loved us and gave himself for us. So Jesus does intercede for us, though, as he did for Peter in Luke chapter 22. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. So Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. It's just that if we come to the Father in Jesus' name, he now hears our prayers and will answer them. But here's the problem. What does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? What does that mean? That seems to be what's important in this passage. Pastor James Boyce, in his commentary on John, says this. In the first place, it means to come to God the Father as a saved person. The name of Jesus is not a mere human name. This name is different. Jesus' full name is the Lord Jesus Christ. I was taught that as a Catholic growing up. And that's why I often refer to him as the Lord Jesus Christ. This means Jehovah, the Savior, God's anointed one. Lord translates two Hebrew words, Jehovah, the great Old Testament name for God, and Adonai, which translates as Lord. Pastor Boyce tells us to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ is to speak of the one who is entirely divine, the incarnate God. And the next part of his name, Jesus, is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Jehoshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. And Christ, the last part of the name, is Greek for Messiah. Messiah means anointed. It refers to the one God anointed to complete the work of redemption. So he concludes, when we come to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is to come believing that Jesus is fully divine, the unique Son of God, and that he performed the full work of saving people for all eternity by his death and resurrection, which he was anointed by God the Father to do. So consequently, prayer is a family privilege for believers. Now, non-believers can pray, but there's no guarantee they will be heard. But as I was reading that, I thought about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was a Gentile. He had not believed, but his prayers were heard. So there's just no guarantee that it's heard. But unbelievers' prayers or non-believers' prayers can be heard, because Peter then had a vision that he should go to Cornelius' house and he could now bring the gospel to Gentiles. And Cornelius knew that Peter had been sent by God as well. So in Jesus' name, though, is not magical. Just because we tack it on to the end of our prayers doesn't mean it will be answered. There's another aspect to asking God the Father in Jesus' name that is crucial to our understanding of what it means to ask in his name. Pastor Ray Steadman explains it this way. To ask in anyone's name means to ask as though you were that person. That means we're to ask for what Jesus would want, what he is after, and not our own desires. In other words, as the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence we have toward Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So it's asking according to his will, and he hears us at that point. So asking God the Father in Jesus' name is as though Jesus was asking himself. Jesus will only do God the Father's will. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. He prayed it three times. So we don't have to like suffering, right? We don't have to enjoy it or say this, you know, whatever. Jesus said, please take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus only is willing to do the Father's will. So we, when we pray, need to pray according to God the Father's will as well. It's like Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He goes to foreign governments in the name of the president, Donald Trump. He expresses the president's will to foreign heads of state, not his own will. And that's pretty much the way it is with Jesus as well. We pray in his name according to his will. So we come knowing it is for his will to be done, not for our glory or for our greeds. We can only know his will, though, by knowing his word. Jesus told the Pharisees in John chapter 5 that the scriptures testify about him. In order to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his will, we must know his word. And we know, having the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us, that he will guide us into all truth. Not with new revelations where we tack on to the scripture some additional insights we got from God. No, we're not adding another book to the Bible at all. But to know his word, the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our helper, our advocate. He will guide us into all truth. The reality is that we're all weak when it comes to prayer. And fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit. Believers are given the Holy Spirit in the waters of their baptism or when they believe the gospel. And Romans 8:26 tells us this, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So when you don't know what to pray, when you don't know which end is up, when you don't know what God would have you to do, you can ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. I ask the Holy Spirit for guidance with these sermons. Father, what do you want me to preach this Sunday? I don't know. There's so many ways to go at a passage of Scripture, and I trust the Holy Spirit is leading you as well. Trust the Holy Spirit that he's leading you. When a name pops into your head, pray for that person. God brought Joyce Toon's name to mind this morning. I gave her a call. You know, we'll pray for her in a little while. We need to pray for her healing. We need to do that and ask God to do that and extend her days if he would, as he did for Hezekiah. So we don't know what to pray, right? But we have the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who will move us, motivate us, impress on us who or what to pray for according to God's will. And as we know him by faith, the Lord, and through word and sacrament, we'll be able to go to God the Father with our prayers as though Jesus was bringing them. Then and only then will our joy be complete as we see God the Father answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.